It's Marketplace Tech for Thursday, January 26th. One of the centerpieces of President Trump's campaign was the call for the return of manufacturing jobs to the U.S. But a survey out this week from Glassdoor looking at the best jobs of 2017 features instead a whole lot of tech.
Top five jobs in America this year are: number one is data scientist, number two is DevOps engineer, number three is a data engineer, number four is tax manager, and number five is an analytics manager.
That's Andrew Chamberlain, Glassdoor's chief economist.
When politicians talk about manufacturing jobs, they're playing on people's nostalgia. But the reality today is that manufacturing is a very small part of the overall labor market. Instead, the future is looking more like skilled services, tech, healthcare, professional services, jobs that are difficult to automate, and jobs that require some creativity and some flexibility, things that are eminently human.
Today, the city of Los Angeles will hold a tech fair, touting its startups and its tech-savvy workforce. We sat down with Mayor Eric Garcetti and asked him why making Los Angeles a tech hub is a priority.
You know, I think that we see this economy changing so rapidly, and we need to be able to find where jobs will be growing in the next 25 years for the next generation of workers. To me, it's very clear that technology is one of those areas that will continue to expand. And LA is uniquely poised because we aren't just about digital technology. We're about transportation technology. We're about energy technology. We're about Hollywood and entertainment technology. It's important for our economic prosperity and also for us to find those range of jobs, some of which will require, you know, doctorates and master's degrees, but also a lot that can be given to folks who can have a middle-class living without even having a college degree as programmers or some of the professionals that can fuel tech companies' growth.
What are the revenue implications of all that growth for the city itself?
Well, there's no question when we have companies, you know, in the old days, people would say to a mayor, get me a Fortune 500 headquarters, and you might get 1,000 jobs out of that. But I focused on companies like Riot Games, a game company that a few years ago didn't exist. A couple of USC grads founded it. They have 3,500 employees and are poised to probably add another couple thousand more. That's where growth is, and that's where revenues then come. These are people who live, shop, pay taxes in your city, become the base of a new middle class. And too many of our cities, we've seen the creative class doing well, a service class balloon at the bottom. But that middle class that used to work in a factory or do something maybe without a college degree is quickly disappearing. I think infrastructure jobs, together with these tech jobs, can be that middle class, you know, source for so many and give us the revenues to make a prosperous and safe and livable city for decades to come.
As a mayor, what are your other priorities going forward when it comes to this tech sector in LA?
You know, for me, I want to make Los Angeles' tech sector be the most diverse there is in the world. I want the next Mark Zuckerberg to be, you know, an African-American girl growing up in South LA or a Latino boy who's in the east side of our city.
How do you change the face of tech workers? It's something the industry has struggled with for a long time, and that it's a white male industry in large part. How do you, as a mayor, affect that?
You have to be very intentional and hold those gatherings where people can network, connect mentors and mentees. Where, you know, students of color are concerned, you have to go where they are. So, you know, you have to lay those seeds down very early. You can't just suddenly look at your workforce and say, hey, get me some black engineers. I need more women programmers. You actually have to think about that years ahead of time. And we've brought tech companies in and challenged them and say, look, we know you will continue to get great people who want to work in the summertime at YouTube. Why not get them from a neighborhood very close by right here in this city? And they've responded very well, and we've seen that grow by hundreds of jobs each year.
Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti, thanks so much.
A pleasure to be with you.
One of the jobs tech has already helped create in Los Angeles and around the country is for rideshare drivers. Lyft is launching into 40 new cities today. But driving for a ride-sharing company doesn't necessarily provide a middle-class income. Earlier this month, Uber agreed to pay $20 million to settle claims it misled drivers about how much they could expect to make on the job. We climbed into the car with Harry Campbell, creator of the blog The Rideshare Guy.
Hello, hello. Hi,
hey,
Harry.
How's it going?
Nice to meet you. I'm Adrian.
Harry.
Thanks for making time.
Yeah, definitely. Not a problem.
How long have you been driving for Uber and Lyft?
3 years. So I think in rideshare years, that makes me really old because most drivers don't make it that long.
What's changed in that time?
you don't make as much money as you used to. When I first started, I think drivers were routinely making maybe $20 to $30 an hour. And that was one of the reasons why I first got started and doing it on the side. I mean, I was a full-time engineer and I was actually making more, you know, just doing a few hour on an hourly basis driving for Uber and Lyft than I was at my day job.
If drivers are headed the other direction, is this a sustainable business model? I mean, is there a point at which drivers just say, you know, it's not worth my time?
Well, I mean, I think that that's sort of already what we're seeing. I mean, Uber actually did a pretty big driver survey a couple years ago, and they found that actually half of all drivers quit after just 1 year. Kind of makes sense, right? You have a lot of drivers who get into this expecting to make more money, and then it turns out that you don't make as much as they advertise. They actually, Uber just settled a lawsuit for $20 million.
That. Do you think it's fair to the drivers?
My hope is that Uber would actually change, you know, some of their policies going forward so that they don't get sued. And I mean, that's sometimes the point of some of these lawsuits and class actions. I don't think it's necessarily the money. It's more the fact that hopefully, you know, it'll incentivize these companies to change their policies going forward and to basically not do that type of stuff again.
Harry Campbell, thanks so much.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
I'm Adrienne Hill, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.